the opportunity to be here this morning on this lectureship. I want to thank Brother Cooper for inviting me to speak, and I hope that our study together will be profitable to us. With the challenges that are facing the church today, certainly a detailed study of the book of Ephesians ought to help us as we try to maintain the purity of the church in all the areas that Brother Claiborne talked about a little while ago. And I think it's a good study for us to engage in every once in a while. If you're preaching the gospel somewhere, I would encourage you to use the book of Ephesians for an entire series of lessons sometime. I think it would do the church good. The text that I have been assigned this morning is Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 15 through 17. Excuse me. The text says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Under consideration in these verses is how the Christian is to walk or to live his life as a Christian. And there are three particular things that are mentioned here in this passage. First, we are to walk circumspectly, and we'll get to that word in just a moment. Second, we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. And third, we are to understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, we'll give attention to all three of these things, but spend a majority of our time on the phrase redeeming the time because the days are evil. The first thing that Paul mentions is that we are to walk circumspectly. Now, there's a word that we don't use much today. And so what does he mean when he says walk circumspectly? Well, Mr. Thayer says in his Greek lexicon that the word that's translated circumspectly comes from a word that means exactly, accurately, diligently. The New American Standard translates this phrase, "Be careful how you walk." The Revised Standard Version translates it, "Look carefully then how you walk." And the New English Version translates it, "See to it that you conduct yourselves carefully." Most of us know that the New Testament uses the word walk as an expression of daily living as a child of God. For example, in Ephesians 4 and verse 1, Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." And then in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, he writes, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." The Christian life is certainly a walk. But as Paul points out here, it is a walk that we have to do circumspectly. As we quoted a little while ago from various translations from what this word means, it certainly carries with it the idea of walking exactly, accurately, carefully, diligently. In our daily walk as a Christian, we are to be ever careful and aware of how and where we are walking. We are to walk circumspectly, he says, as wise, not as fools. The word that's translated fool here means simply unwise or foolish. This person who is described as a fool, who walks foolishly, is someone who would be unthinking, someone who is thoughtless, someone who is careless, uncaring, or worldly minded. This person would give very little thought as to where he is going or how he should go. This would be the person who walks not according to the Spirit, but according to the flesh. This person would care very little about living a careful, accurate, a strict, or a disciplined life. And we all know people like that. Instead of walking as a fool would walk, Paul says that we should be walking as wise. And I believe here it's the very opposite of the word fool here. Well, how do we walk as wise? Well, he would be a thinking, thoughtful, careful, caring, and spiritually minded individual. The person who walks in a wise manner is always conscious of the fact that he is in the presence of God and of Christ all day long, 24/7, as we sometimes say. The wise individual is not only concerned about every step that he takes, but he struggles to watch every step to make sure that we walk in an upright, self-controlled, and in the exact path that our Lord wants us to. So, we are to walk circumspectly, accurately, carefully, diligently. And of course, that cannot be done apart from the Word of God. You know, the prophet Jeremiah said in the long ago, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Walk circumspectly. Be careful how you walk. Be careful where you walk. Secondly, he says, and this is our focal point, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So a Christian is to walk circumspectly by redeeming the time. Now that's a word that we're very familiar with in the New Testament, the word redeem. Generally we think of the word redeem as to buy back. And we think of redeem and redemption and ransom. What does this mean here in this particular passage? Well again, let me just quote for some other translations and maybe this will help us here a little bit. The New American Standard says, making the most of your time. The Revised Standard Version says the same thing. The English Standard Version says, making the best use of your time. And the New English Bible says, use the present opportunities to the full. And the New Berkeley Version says, who make the best possible use of their time. When Thayer gives his definition of the Greek word that's translated redeeming here, he says of its use in Ephesians 5 and verse 16, to make a wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. So, redeeming the time carries with it then the idea of being very judicious as to how one uses one's time to the very best advantage. I think all of us understand how valuable time is. Sometimes we make statements, I just don't have enough time. Well, you've got all the time there is. I have the same time every day that the President of the United States has. He doesn't have any more time than I have. 24 hours in a day. That's the time we have every day. The question is, how are we going to use that time? It is a gift of God. And we are, of course, to be good stewards of that time. We will give an account to God on how we have used the time that God has allotted to us here on this earth. To redeem the time seems to me to mean to make the best use of the time and the opportunities that God has given us. You know, once a moment of time has passed, once an opportunity has passed, you can never recall it. It's gone. It's gone. And as much as we would like to have it back, we're not going to get it back. There's a similar statement that Paul wrote to this in Colossians 4 and verse 5 when he said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. David wrote in Psalm 90, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And Solomon said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And a passage about time that most of us are familiar with comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. And I suspect that wisdom would enable us to know which is which. How to use these moments of time that God has given us. As free moral agents, we do have the choice to make about how we use our time. We can sit around and waste time, or as the expression sometimes goes, we can kill time. That's not a very good expression to me, kill time. Because if you kill it, you're not using it very advantageously. Or we can waste our time on things that have little value or worth. We could use our time to live according to the flesh and not the spirit. And there are a lot of folk out there in the world today who are doing just exactly that. They care little for the things of the spirit and care a lot about the things of the flesh. Jesus gave us an example of how we could properly use our time in Matthew chapter 6 when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We can use our time wisely in seeking first the interests of God. We also can use our time to live, as Paul said in Titus 2, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We can use our time to be about the preaching and the teaching of the gospel in fulfilling the great commission that Jesus gave in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. We can use our time to be diligent on the job, to be good husbands and wives and parents to our children, and to devote our time to worship and service. All of us are very much aware of the fact that the days of our life here on earth are limited. We must take and make the best use of that time, because we will not always be here. In the 39th Psalm, the writer said, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And in the 90th Psalm, he went on to say, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength in labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone, and we fly away. I think all of us, especially those of us who are getting a little bit older, understand something about the passage of time. And we say it just seems like yesterday that so-and-so or this and that. And it may seem like that, but it isn't. It's hard to believe that I've been preaching at Maslin for going on 32 years. It just seemed like yesterday I moved there. But I know it hadn't been yesterday. It was 32 years ago. And we say, well, where has the time gone? We just we don't know how long we have here on this earth. And therefore, we need to make the very best use of our time. But why is it important for us to redeem the time? Why is it important for us to make the very best use of the time and opportunities God has given us? Well, Paul says, because the days are evil. Certainly no one can deny the fact that the era in which Paul lived was an evil age. Paganism, heathenism, immorality was rampant in that Roman society. And yet Christianity succeeded in establishing itself in cities all over that great Roman Empire. What about today? I think all of us would admit that we live in evil times as well. And therefore, we need to make the best use of our time because these days are evil. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's part of the evil that we face today. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We live in an evil world. We live in a world full of sin. And therefore, we need to make the very best possible use of our time to do something about the evil that is in this world. And with so much evil surrounding us, there's the temptation to not stay alert or to keep from falling. Sometimes people just say, "What's the use?" and they give up trying to live a Christian life. You may know people like that. They just give up. "Oh, what's the use?" People give up when they face temptation. People give up sometimes when they face persecution. People give up when they face crisis in their life. They just give up. That's a tragedy, but it's a reality that we have to face. We live in a world full of evil. Now, that may not be the most politically correct thing to say today. The postmodern era seems to be that everybody's right and nobody's wrong. But it is a fact that there is good and there is evil. We need to remember that as a Christian, despite the fact that we live in a world of evil and darkness, that we are children of light. God is light. Jesus is the great light of the world. We are lights. We understand what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, there in Matthew 5, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We cannot afford to let the darkness overwhelm us. But we must use our time in being lights to the world. Now, of course, we are not the source of that light. We only reflect that light. It's sort of like a prism that reflects the light through it. That's what we are. And Paul reminds us in Galatians 6, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith." Let's not get discouraged because we live in a world of evil and darkness. Remember, we are a light. And the function of a light is to shine. And if we don't shine, How great is that darkness? You've heard the expression, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. We teach our children, this little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's a good song for adults too. We need to shine. The third point in this passage is verse 17, wherefore, calling for a conclusion, be ye not unwise, there's that word again, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The wherefore is because of what is said in the previous verse, because the days are evil, we need to redeem the time, we must therefore not be unwise, but we must understand what the will of the Lord is. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 15 and verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Again, going back to Thayer's definition of this word unwise, he simply says it means without reason, senseless, foolish, and stupid. That's Thayer, not me. We're not to be that way. But we are to understanding what the will of the Lord is. Did God intend for you and I to understand His will? Well, I think most of us would answer yes. Now, we're not saying that we can understand everything perfectly. But why would God give us a will that we could not possibly understand? You know, I am told that if you eliminate the proper names in the King James Version of the Bible, and there's some real whoppers of long names there, that the average word is about 5 letters long. And I think we can understand that kind of language. We can understand what the will of the Lord is. If we can't, God's played a terrible trick on us. If we cannot understand what His will is, then how and why are we responsible for doing something that we can't do? Now, it is certainly true that if we are to understand the will of the Lord, then we're going to have to spend the necessary time in order to do that. Someone, I believe, told Brother Gus Nichols one time, I'd give my life to understand as much about the Bible as you do, and he said, that's exactly what it's cost me. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Continue in my word, abide in my word. We cannot understand the will of God apart from that. And I think all of us are familiar with Paul's admonition to Timothy to study or give diligence to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. And that just doesn't come with little effort. That comes with a whole lot of effort. Contrary to what many say today, there is a body of objective truth. The postmodern world doesn't really accept absolute truth in anything, much less religion. But there is a body of objective revealed truth. That is truth no matter what I think about it. And of course, that's the Word of God. And God has given us minds and talents and abilities for us to use to understand what His will for your life and my life is. And we can know this truth, and we can know that we know it. Understanding the will of God will help us redeem the time or make the best use of our time. Because in the will of God, we learn how our time is to be used. What things we can do to redeem those times. So, we find here in this passage three things that are incumbent upon every Christian. First, we have to walk circumspectly, that is, carefully, accurately, exactly, diligently. To use an example that those of you who were raised on a farm might be familiar with, and you're walking through the pasture, you better be careful where you step. We have to be careful where we walk and where we step. We have to be careful. Secondly, we have to redeem the time. As we walk, as we live our Christian life, we must redeem the time. That is, we're to make the best use of our time and take advantage of every opportunity for good because the days in which we are living are evil. And I might add, because our own days are limited and numbered. And then finally, we must not walk as unwise, but we must understand what the will of the Lord is. And by understanding what the will of the Lord is, then we can truly walk circumspectly and redeeming the time. The Apostle Paul in Romans 13 had this to say to the Christians of his day. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. As we sang a moment ago, indeed, time is filled with swift transition. Let us make sure that we make the very best possible use of the time that God has given us. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Glenn, for your...